The Cook of the Halcyon by Andrea Camilleri, translated by Stephen Sartorelli, and read by Mark Meadows. Chapter 1. He was dancing a waltz at the edge of a swimming pool, all pomaded and fragrant, and he knew that the woman in his arms was Livia, who just a few hours earlier had become his wife. But he couldn't see her face through the dense white veil that covered it. Suddenly, a strong gust of wind blew in, moving the veil just enough for him to discover that it wasn't Livia he was dancing with, but Mrs. Costantino, his third-grade schoolteacher, replete with moustache and crooked glasses. The fright drained him of strength. He felt faint and shut his eyes. When he opened them again, he found himself lying in the bottom of a small rowing boat, dancing dangerously over hair-raising breakers as tall as houses. He realized at once that the boat was on its side and might therefore capsize in a moment. He had to do something, anything, without wasting another second. He was still all dressed up, sporting even a fancy tie, but his clothes were so sodden with rain that they'd become practically waterproof. The clouds were so low and black that they looked like a sort of shroud about to cover everything at any moment, a sign that the storm hadn't yet vented all its rage. He hadn't the slightest idea how or why he'd ended up in such a situation. He vaguely recalled getting dressed up for his wedding, but that was all. Suddenly, he noticed that one of the oars was slipping out of the rowlock. He had to prevent this at all costs. If he lost the oar, he would never be able to manage the boat. He tried to stand up, but his clothes, sopping wet as they were, impeded his movements and kept him glued to the bottom of the boat. He tried again, grabbing the sides of the boat with both hands, and managed to rise to a sitting position. Reaching out with one arm, he was able to touch the oar with the tips of his fingers, but then it slipped away and fell into the water. How on earth was he going to get out of this now? He absolutely had to get that oar back. In one painful bound, he leapt to his feet, but immediately the wind struck him just like a punch, forcing him to his knees, blowing so fiercely that he couldn't keep his eyes open. He kept them shut because they were burning so badly, but when he opened them again, in a flash, he saw the bows of a gigantic sailing ship heading straight for him. It looked like it was flying. How could it not have been there just a minute before? Where had it come from? Terrified, he decided at once that his only hope was to jump into the sea and swim as far away as he could. And so he dived in, but the violence of the breakers and the weight of his clothes prevented him from swimming. Desperate, he managed to go a few meters in the water. Then he heard the crack of the wooden boat being cleft in two by the bows of the ship. Maybe things would be all right now. All at once, however, the waves began to grow in ferocity, reinforced by those created by the ship's propeller. The first wave dragged him under, but he managed, he didn't know how, to come back up to the surface. He didn't have time, however, to catch his breath before a second wave nearly tore his head off. He passed out and started sinking, sinking. When he awoke, he was sitting up in bed, out of breath, heart beating wildly, mouth agape, gasping for air. Against the window panes, exposed by the open shutters, raindrops as big as chickpeas were drumming loudly. There was no light outside. It was unclear whether it was day or night. He looked at the clock. 6:30. Time to get up, in theory. But what was the use of going out at that hour if all that awaited him at the office were stacks of papers to be signed? His mood darkened. He got up, opened the windows, pulled the shutters shut, closed the windows, went and lay back down in bed, and closed his eyes.
Inspector! It's 9:00. You want me to bring you some coffee?
Adelina's voice blared like the trumpet on Judgment Day, the one that wakes the dead. He sat up in bed again. 9:00? True, there was nothing he had to do, but all the same, it was bad form to show up at the office late in the morning.